Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and welcome to another edition of The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the entertainment world. My guest today is a singer-songwriter, and she's just released or about to release a brand new CD. It is my great pleasure to welcome Sophie B. Hawkins to the program. Hello, Sophie.
How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Me too.
I'm wondering if we might start the interview with a little bit of biographical background. Who is Sophie B. Hawkins?
I am a girl from New York City. First and foremost, I'm a drummer. African drums is my first instrument, and a songwriter. And I developed into who I am, all the sides of me. Just basically, I had them all starting at the same time. When I was about 40, I painted. I started drumming. I realized I loved the whole essence of songwriting. And then, you know, throughout my life, I have pushed different things to the surface. And some of them have gotten lots of attention, and some of them may get lots of attention at some other time. And that's who I am. I'm truly just an artist who keeps doing new projects and working on things, and I'm generally 6 years ahead of myself in terms of projects. It seems even my hits, I would write them 4 to 6 years before they ever became hits, and I really appreciate that gap to always develop new stuff.
Okay, you say primarily you started as a drummer, but
yes.
I find it hard to believe that the drums are where you stopped. What else do you play?
Well, but the drums were so all-inclusive of my spirit, because I started with African drums, West African to be really pointed, and that music really unleashed my whole idea of what music is as a storytelling vehicle. Because when you learn African drums, you don't just learn beats, you learn the songs and the dances with them, and you always have to sing while you're playing the drums, and then somebody's always going to be doing the dance, so there's always a history in every song. So that is why, actually, when I come right down to it, it does. When you sing a great song and you just clap your hands or hit the steering wheel, you realize how great that song is. So the essence of that is really still what I come down to in music. And yes, I did learn, you know, I did vibraphone and marimba, and I went to Manhattan School of Music for a year as a percussionist, so timpani. And I've since played cello and banjo and guitar, and I'll play any instrument. I do not have any problem just picking up an instrument and trying to find a song on the instrument. That's my style. But I don't consider myself really good at any of them except drumming, and I'm a better and better singer because I perform, you know, 20 years now as a performer, I have become a better and better singer.
I have to ask you this question. I have one of those nasty inquiring minds. You're known as Sophie B. Hawkins.
Yes.
Why the B? Why not the simpler Sophie Hawkins?
You know, it doesn't look right. And in fourth grade, I decided that I was Sophie B. Hawkins. And it's not arrogance, and it's not some idea of myself that I'm better than just Sophie Hawkins. But Sophie Hawkins didn't feel that I was reaching out enough or branching out. Maybe it stands, the B is for branching out. I had to branch out from my roots and from my family and my environment to find myself. I wasn't somebody who could stay where I was and become, there's another B word, I couldn't become who I was supposed to be. So the B gave me that extra support that I needed. It's like standing on a big balloon or standing on a giant beanbag chair and saying, okay, now I have some perspective. Hey, I said another two B words, beanbag chair and balloon.
So the B is, well, I wouldn't say invented, but it makes you different.
Well, it made me more myself. Different is interesting. I was already different, but it's my real name is Ballantyne. That's my Scottish heritage. So it wasn't like I was going so far off, but it made me able to not just be the person with braids who was picking her nose that was a D student. It made me be able to find another version of myself, that I could start from there and say, you guys don't know who I am. I have got so much more inside of here.
Oh, okay. I'll cease the third degree. Let's talk about your new CD, The Crossing.
Yes.
This is what, your sixth CD?
I think it's my sixth, yeah.
Is there a particular theme behind it?
Well, yeah. The theme is transcendence. It's coming full circle and transcendence. The theme is also simplicity. Like, I got tired of doing so much work for so little result. And I don't mean that in terms of my personal work as a songwriter and as an artist, but in the world, struggling so hard against the current, like a salmon swimming upstream. I got to the point where I said that I'm just going to do everything the most direct and simple way in everything that I do, and then I will be able not only to know what I'm doing better, I'll be able to, like, have it fresher. And because everything in my life became about immediacy, and always we all struggle to be present, but there's times in your life where you can't help but be present, like my father dying, like my child being born, like reaching the end of the music era as we know it. You just can't release, you can't be an artist as a singer-songwriter the way I was. So all these incredible transitions happened, and I had to transcend so many aspects. I think the album really reflects that. It reflects a willingness to cross over with as little as you can take as possible, because it's going to be a rough crossing.
Okay. How about take a track out for a spin? Bet You Got a Cure. Okay. This is Bet You Got a Cure for Life.
Deal. I've been in pain.
Katie, it's a great song. I want to do something completely off the wall and certainly unscripted. I'm looking at the switchboard, and there's an old friend of the show. I can't remember his real name. He goes by the unlikely nickname of Lunchbox, but he's dialed in. So if you don't mind, I'm going to bring Lunchbox on and find out what he has to say.
All right.
Well, hello, Lunchbox.
Oh, hello there.
Hi, Lunchbox.
Hello, Sophie. I actually have a question for Sophie, if that's at all possible.
Sure.
Of course.
I was wondering, I was always curious how the music industry worked when it came to large hits.
Yeah.
You know, years after you've made the hit. Like in your case, it'd be "Damn If I Wish I Was Your Lover," if I remember
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Do you still get money for that somehow? I mean, through the record label or you know, a few years
not
after
the record
song?
Label. I can tell you, yeah, Lunchbox. Here's how it works. This is what has changed so much. They call it back in the day now in the 90s. Back in the day, you could. There was radio, and it lasted a little up into the 2000s, and now it's totally different. Like, when I came out with Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover, and As I Lay Me Down, and Only Loving Right Beside You, I actually would travel around to radio stations all over the world and meet program directors, and callers would call in on their way to work, and I'd be in radio stations from 5 in the morning until 12 at night, promoting my song, singing it live, taking callers, I mean calls from callers, and that was all based on whether people really liked the song in the radio station's region, right? And then that would determine whether you had a hit. Well, now it's completely different. Like, and you know, it started changing in the early 2000s where it would be Jack FM, and they said it's people's choice, but it turned out it was just programmed by one guy, you know, in Chicago or something, and it had nothing to do with people's choice. It became very corporate, and that started changing in the early 2000, or 99, 98, 99, 2000. So the whole industry really changed into how are we selling this product, how does the music of this artist help our product, how help our, you know, our stockholders, and it became a real cognizance of that. And then people started realizing, well, you know, if we added this hit writer and that hit writer and this producer and that hit producer onto the song, we might be more guaranteed of a hit. And then it, so it became all about figuring out how to make the product sell to the people something else. And then the artistic integrity and the share that would go to the artist was diminished and diminished and diminished. So the answering of your question is I am still supported by the money from Damn, I Wish I Was Your Lover, As I Lay Me Down, Right Beside You, all those albums, but it's not from record sales. To Sony Music, I'm still unrecouped. Whatever amount, which is a very small amount compared to the amount of records I sold, whatever small amount they put into promoting my record, they of course charged back to me, and they probably added on so many costs, and so they say I'm still in recoup. So I make it all from radio airplay, some from internet airplay, and that's the way it's always been. And luckily, Lunchbox, I was the sole writer on these songs, so I get the writer's share and most of the publisher's share. So yeah,
what
you
about
can,
things like iTunes or
yeah,
you know,
you make a teeny bit, but I mean you how. I think that the whole problem with the industry changed because nobody could figure out, no artist could figure out how to support themselves now that we were in the digital age and everyone could basically get everything for free. And if you did try to charge money, people would say, and I understand why, they would say, why would I pay for your record? I can get it for free. It's like, you know, give it to me. And so the artist has the big struggle of how, so I think now it's TV, but you asked how do we people who made music back in the time before the digital age, can they still get radio airplay? They still can make money, but now it's harder and harder for an artist to make money because touring is so difficult. People don't want to go out. I mean, look, all these big acts are pairing up together, and that you don't make very much money from. If you really think about it, you don't, because people can see you do the same song on YouTube and they don't have to pay for it. And nobody really wants to pay anymore. And I understand why. Life is expensive and they want their songs for free.
Okay, I need to interject here. Lunchbox, hang on the line, but let's go back to the interview for a second. That song, that track we just played, I know that there were multiple musicians involved, but you did not play as a band.
No, you're right.
How did you construct it?
Well, Simon, you know, that song in particular is the most difficult on the whole album, and you know there's another version on the album, The Crossing, which is much more simpler and much more stripped down. And actually, I have rewritten that song 20 times. And it was funny to hear that version again, because that is the wildest and the wooliest of all the versions. Well, I did. I started with the piano and vocal and some guitar and percussion and some drums that I had done in my studio. And for that one, I tried having a live band come in and not using my demo and just singing and rehearsing with them. I tried doing that song live and then bringing those same guys back to the studio, and it never sounded good. It never sounded like it should sound. So what you just heard was me bringing in one or two guitar players, you know, bass, and then I did all the rest of the weird stuff. And that's a pretty wild version. And in some ways, I felt like, God, I was in the studio too long alone on that one. But then there's a beauty in that, too. But it really is, very dense, that one. And that's just me experimenting and going on and on, and I like that and stuff. But when you hear the other version, it's much simpler.
Okay, so this obviously leads into my next question. Are you mainly a studio artist, or do you like the adrenaline rush of the live performance?
Yes, I've evolved. I used to be so comfortable in the studio and taking hours and hours to do things, and now I'm bored of it. Now the live performer in me has taken over as I've gotten more confidence. And I've actually feel like I understand music more. It's strange to say. The more I do things, the more I understand what I'm trying to do with music. And then I can look back at a song and go, God, that was cluttered. I really wasn't getting my message across at all, or something like that. So now the answer is I really do love live. I trust myself live. I'm about to go. I have only one live album, the Bad Kitty Board Mix, but I really enjoy. I love when people buy that. You know, when I do a show, everybody doesn't want to buy the studio album after the show. They only want to buy the live album because they love what they just saw. Now, I'm doing a project now where it's going to be all live in the studio without even a click track, which is my dream come true, to work without a click track. So I feel that I've come into my own, and now I can finally just totally say, I'm so sick of the studio.
the composing world is a complex one. There are people that labor for years on one song, and others dash them off in minutes. In fact, I was talking to a musician friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and he floored me with a statement that his latest song, which incidentally is very good, but I have to keep it under wraps, went from concept to essentially recorded track in under 1 hour. Words, music, you know, other than some post-production, he was good to go. How do you work?
Yeah, I think I can work always. I write some songs really fast. I write some songs keep having to change, like Bet You Got a Cure for Me. That has had to change because I've grown. Like when I first wrote it, I was one experience in life, and then another, and then I wrote it for other artists to sing, and then finally it's on this album. So for me, I can spend a lot of time on songs, although I don't usually. I can if I'm forced to, and I will. And I will always keep rewriting if the result is not satisfactory. But listen, I've learned, and that thing about what you just said from stage to studio in an hour, I mean, I have songs like that, like Big Beautiful Bottom in My Face, which is on the internet. Big Beautiful Bottom of My Face was one of those ones I just threw off the cuff, and it actually was almost used for a commercial in England to sell seats in the movie theaters. That's one of my favorite songs I've ever written, and that was fast. See, I'm much more of that mindset. However, there's times I'm writing a musical now, which Kristen Chenoweth is attached to star, and we've already had our first reading. Well, that musical, I've had to write, you know, it doesn't matter that I've written 43 songs. I have to keep writing and writing and writing because the book changes, the actress needs different things. You know, everything keeps changing. People's age keeps changing. So, you know, basically my answer is you have to be able to do it all if you want to survive, and you have to enjoy it all if you want to be happy while you survive.
Okay, let's do some absolute shameless commercials here.
Okay.
Do you have a website? And
yes,
where can
people... not shameless. I mean, we, you know, artists now, they should never be ashamed of promoting themselves like the old days. We really need people to go to our website. It's sophiebhawkins.com. That's my website. And then I have some shows coming up in Los Angeles and in New York and in Wyoming. And my album is coming out, I think, June 19th, and you can get that on my website and Amazon and iTunes. So I really want to promote that stuff, The Crossing. And Georgia, by the way, they can download Georgia right now on iTunes.
Well, I'll tell you what, rather than send people all the way to iTunes, why don't we just let them listen to it here?
Sure.
The sun is coming, your body's warm, the grass is cold. But the summer's over and I can't spend another day kicking down the dirt road. Georgia,
It's such a pretty track.
I like that track.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm absolutely in favor of the title.
You don't want me using Georgia.
Yeah, it's been done before, you know. But it is a great track. In fact, let's ask the Peanut Gallery Lunchbox. What do you think about Georgia?
Hold on 1 second. Slight technical difficulty. Okay, fixed. I think it sounds beautiful. As good as she ever was, if you ask me.
That's cool. Well, I like the Peanut Gallery's response.
Okay. I think that I'm happy to know that you are still producing and creating. I mean, I am a big fan of some of the singers that have come out of the 90s. I mean, yourself, for example, or Paula Cole. I mean,
yeah.
Just unique, wonderful, beautiful writers and singers. So keep doing
that. It was a great era. It was like, I always say when Thelma and Louise went off the cliff, so did the whole opening for all these women who were so unique. You said the word unique. It's become pretty cookie cutter now. It's strange. But you know, it always will cycle back again. I suppose that's what they say.
The 90s just had substance, though. That's what's missing now is substance,
mm-hmm.
And you've still got
it. Yeah, thank you. You're right, Lunchbox.
By the way, Lunchbox, I'm sorry about calling you Lunchbox, but I can't remember what your real name is.
Lunchbox,
don't worry about
cool.
It. It's Shane.
Shane, that's it.
Oh, goodness. Hey, Simon, I have to pick up my son soon.
Oh, we're about to wrap this up.
Okay.
Alas, we are completely out of time. It's been great talking to you.
It's fabulous.
And I do hope that your new album, The Crossing, brings, you know, greatness to you.
You're so sweet. It does feel like it's never done. But, you know, we'll see. I'll tell you something, I'm happy. That's really important.
Okay. Well, again, you know, thank you for taking time. It looks like we're about to lose power here. The satellite just went out. The computers look grumpy. We have the thunderstorm from we're not quite sure where crashing down. So it's best to close this down right now.
That's
so
awesome.
Again, you know, thank you so much.
Take care.
And,
have fun in the storm.
Oh, storms are always fun round here. Okay, until next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week.
Thanks, Simon.
We'll be back again soon. Until
Thanks,
next
Lunchbox
time,
too.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.